Today's New Testament reading is from the Epistle to the Romans, the 11th chapter. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the Scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too at the present time there is a remnant, chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened, as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see, and ears that would not hear down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I am speaking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note, then, the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? This is the word of the Lord. We thank Pastor Greg Truey from Trinity Lutheran Church in Coal Camp, Missouri, for today's meditation on God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When my family sits down to eat, there's seven of us gathered around the table. My beloved wife, our five children, and myself. Now, I have to say that all of our children are pretty good eaters, but there are times, especially with our youngest, Josiah, when he doesn't want to eat what is being served. Of course, it isn't easy to reason with a two-year-old, but I have found something that works. Whether it's green beans or a piece of bread or the bratwurst which we're having, if I offer it to Josiah's brothers and sisters and he sees them take and eat it, then even if he was throwing a tantrum or refusing just to eat that same thing just moments before, he will now desire to have the very same thing he had just been rejecting. Now, having been made jealous of his sisters and brother, he readily eats his green beans. I share this mealtime scenario in order to help you understand why in the world the Lord, in his mercy, would ever act in such a way to make his own people jealous, which is what St. Paul asserts in Romans chapter 11. Now, it must be said that the Lord did keep for himself in Israel a remnant of faithful people who trusted his word and received the gifts that he gave them therein. But as a whole, collectively, Israel is described as having rejected the word of God. In fact, he says that they were broken off from the vine because of their own unbelief. Like a child whose parents prepare a meal to give him out of love for him, and then watch while that child rejects that meal in obstinance, so too did the Lord see his people reject the faith which he had chosen to give them out of his own fatherly divine goodness and mercy. God had not rejected Israel. He had called Israel out of darkness. It was Israel itself who had rejected the Lord. But the Lord still loved his people Israel and desired them to be saved, and so he made them jealous. It sounds strange to our ears that God would make them jealous, but we must remember the end he has in mind. So he calls his apostle to preach to the Gentiles and to offer to them what God had first given to Israel. And when the Gentiles joyfully received that ministry and were grafted into the vine to become true inheritors of all the blessings of salvation, well, that made the Jews, Abraham's blood descendants, jealous. And as long as they would not continue in their rejection, but be brought to repentance to receive God's word and promises once again, they themselves would be grafted back in to join the Gentiles as those who were recipients of God's mercy and grace. The Lord made his people jealous so that they would receive with joy what they had previously rejected. Would that we would all joyfully receive the word and sacrament ministry which the Lord now gives to us. But when we tire of it, grow bored with it, or simply take it for granted, let us pray that the Lord would act to make us jealous too, that we would see the Lord's good gifts in Christ Jesus for what they are and always desire to receive them. For the Lord's good gifts in Christ Jesus are what the Lord earnestly desires for us to have and enjoy. In the name of Jesus, amen.